Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for each heart gathered together here. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your word and the life that it brings to us as you, Holy Spirit, make it real in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So please stand as we recite the Shema together. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you may be seated. Once more, we're in 2 Samuel 6:5. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and lyres, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and symbols. We're deep in the encouragement that as the redeemed members of the people of God, there should be an expression of joy in the truth that we are corporately in the very presence of Jehovah. He has redeemed our lives by the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our brother. Accordingly, we have been adopted into the very family of God. That is a cause for eternal celebration in the rejoicing together in the goodness of Jehovah. He has, through His Holy Spirit, come to indwell us and to be the source of everything that we ever need. This should cause an intensity of worship and praise and adoration to be the focal reality of our lives and of our corporate expression of rejoicing in the Lord God Almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and He's the one who has given us this life in Christ. As the people of the entire house of Israel celebrated the bringing into Jerusalem of the Ark of the Covenant, so should we be rejoicing with the every fiber of our beings in the joy and the magnificence of our living relationship with Yahweh. They were intensely celebrating the representative substance of the present God in their midst. We are joyously reveling in the fact that we are brought into the eternal company of God through His omnipresence, indwelling and surrounding us forever and forever. That should enthrall us no matter what the earthly situation and circumstantial aspects of our day-to-day sojourn on this earth. We return to the encouragement of the psalmist in this regard as he details the characteristic response of the people of God to the goodness and the mercy and the loving kindness that we receive as our portion in the life that we have to live before Him. Please open to the 47th Psalm as we rejoice together in consideration of who God is and all that He has done and will continue to do now and forevermore. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom He loves. Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our God, to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes who have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. When we expend the energy and the time to consider all that God has done just in our lives, to bring us into this relationship with Him, we must join the psalmist in this rejoicing together as to the worthiness and the sovereignty of God over the whole of His creation. We need to lose ourselves in the fact that no matter what is taking place in our lives, no matter what the chaos surrounding us, no matter what the severity of the travail that is working to diminish our resources, our energy, our enjoyment of life, commitment to stand fast in the Lord, He is still King. He is still in charge of our lives. He is still in control and ruling and overruling according to His plan and His purposes in the totality of His creation. For that, He is to be praised and adored and worshiped and exalted. Next, please turn to Psalm 68, 24 through 26. Where we are instructed to bring our songs of worship and praise and honor before the Lord to bless Him. This is with the sound of instruments and the songs of our hearts. Psalm 68, 24 through 26. They have seen Thy procession, O God, the procession of My God, My King, into the sanctuary. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines. Bless God in the congregations, even the Lord, you who are the fountain of Israel. We need to stop and earnestly reflect, Selah, as the psalmist so frequently uses. We are part of the procession of our God, my God, our King, my King. There is a sense proclaimed in this psalm that should just rock the core foundation of our beings. This is my God who I am celebrating. This is personal. This is specific in the every detail. My God, He knows me. He loved me unto Himself. He saved me. He cares for me. He delights in me. This is my God and my King with whom I have been brought into a living relationship as His very child. The same is true of each of us. He is your God and He is your King. He is awesome in power and beyond all human comprehension to fully understand the magnitude of all that He has put into place. He reigns in my life and He reigns in your life. He is amazing and He is magnificent and He is worthy of all worship and adoration and celebration. I want to be very careful here, because this is an aspect in which our language is lacking in its ability to express the magnificence of what the psalmist is proclaiming. We are not making this all about ourselves. This is not a self-centered detailing of what I have that you don't have. The expressed reality of this statement declaring the personal truth that He is my God is not to put the focus on me. The only reason that we can make this proclamation is that God has done the work. He has put forth His so great love to bring me, to bring you into His very family by the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. There is nothing of me that deserved any of this loving kindness and tender mercy and grace of God. It is all Him. Everything is absolutely centered in Him. It is because He opened His heart and His arms to me, to you, that we can so majestically rejoice in this personal relationship with Him. He made Himself my God, and not any other twisting of consideration. He made Himself your God. He made Himself our God. That is why we can join our hearts in the united celebration of the greatness and the magnitude of the work of God, together with all the focus and all the praise and all the glory being freely offered unto Him. Again, we rejoice together with the psalmist in Psalm 150. This is such a glorious and magnificent declaration and exclamation of just how awesomely and wonderfully we are to express our love of Him. The entirety of His creation is to be joined together in bringing before Him the utmost worship from the depths of our beings. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Note the full measure of the praise that God is due. It is with the every essence of our beings. We acknowledge His worthiness to receive all the praise and worship and adoration of everything that has been created. It is to be with singing from the depths of our ability to bring forth those songs which declare that He reigns over all now and forevermore. It is with dancing in our hearts and in our minds, and yes, even in our feet. It is with joy inexpressible and desiring to proclaim to the heavens His majesty and His honor and His glorious work throughout the universe. It is with those instruments that resound with the crescendoed splendor and intensity of the tribute that He alone is. We are to praise Him with all that is in us. We are to praise Him with utmost joy and gladness, no matter what else is going on in our lives. That is something that needs to be brought to the forefront in the assembly of His people. We have His working in our lives and in our families and in our every relationship. He is bringing into place His kingdom. That requires the death to self, that the life and the sovereignty of Christ will reign in all of us as His church on this earth. This is instead of our self-centeredness and selfish determinations of what we think should be in place. That hurts. And that hurts unto death. It is never a light touch of God to deal according to what His will is, rather than what we think things should be. Despite the severity of the work that He is doing, we need to view it in the reality of what He is bringing forth. We are to thank Him even in the midst of this of self process. His hand is upon our lives, and His perfect will is being accomplished to His glory on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, even now, in the midst of the pain and the anguish and the difficulties and the distress, we are to praise Him with the depth of rejoicing that transcends that momentary affliction of this day. He is to be honored with all the joy of our beings, especially as we are able to join our hearts together in the loving embrace of our God, our King. This is a time of absolute surrender. Even if our hearts are breaking apart in our chests, there is to be proclaimed the fact that God is worthy of the greatest and deepest and most profound praise of joy and adoration for His great work in process. One of the great expressions of this truth is recounted for us in Daniel 3, 15 through 27. We may think that we are suffering, and we are. I'm not minimizing what God is doing in the lives of each one of His people to bring forth His sovereignty in reality and in truth. But I dare say that not one of us has undergone that which was faced by those three Hebrews who would not deny the honor and the place of adoration and worship that Yahweh alone deserves. They literally put their lives down before God in the matter of Jehovah being the only one to whom they owed their unfailing fealty and honor and praise and obedience. Daniel 3, 15 through 27. Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He responded and said to his high officials, Was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, Certainly, O king. He answered and said, Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. These three men willingly laid down their lives instead of giving in to the pressure to deny the Lord God Almighty. And even though the text does not specifically state it as such, when they were kept from harm in the midst of the fiery furnace and joined there by the one whom we recognize as the Son of God, they had to be worshiping and rejoicing and honoring and praising God in the fiery midst of their tribulation. They were not miserable and murmuring and complacent in the course of what they were going through. They stood erect with all the bonds of this earth burned away and set their hearts and on God. They declared that He alone is worthy of all praise and adoration. We now move forward in our Bibles to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. Herein we have the vision declared of what will take place as the people of God, having gone through all that this world can throw against them, rejoice together. This is just as the children of Israel did on the banks of the Red Sea after God brought those walls of water crashing down upon that pursuing army of Pharaoh. There will be that unified and rejoicing, triumphant singing to the glory of God Almighty by those who are His redeemed. Revelation 15, 2 through 14. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had come off victorious from the beast and from His image and from the number of His name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are Thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are Thy ways, Thou King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before Thee, for Thy righteous acts have been revealed. We conclude with the anthem that will be sung with utmost enjoyment and delight in the result of the mighty work of God and His people. In Revelation 19, 1 through 7, we see how we will be proclaiming with extreme gladness and triumph and jubilation the tremendous result of all that God is putting into place through His awesome work on this earth. There will be that supreme acclamation of the entire universe as the mystery of Christ, hidden throughout the ages, comes into fruition in the revelation of the Church of God, fully shown in all His glory. We will be there together with our Lord, our glorious Bridegroom. Revelation 19, 1 through 7. After these things I heard were a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So be it, and amen. Amen.